In our Old Testament readings over the last few weeks, we have been following through Jeremiah. I rather like Jeremiah. It is at times very gloomy, but each Jeremiah reading we've had over the last three weeks, there's been little signs of hope. And perhaps in the world in which we live at the moment, and we look at the news of the last few days, whether you want to go to America, whether you want to go to Gaza, whether you want to go to Ukraine, and even whether you want to go to this country, you could be quite depressed. And if you do feel quite depressed, then you are forgiven. Jeremiah clearly lived in a world that was pretty depressing. And that was what he'd been on about for the last 3 weeks. And I think he does reach a pinnacle of depression today. And in the reading that we're going to have, thank you for whoever is going to read it, it is not very cheerful. And Jeremiah is clearly looking forward to the time when the world as they knew it then was in danger of complete collapse. He was looking forward to times changing very, very significantly. And of course, we're also being warned about our times changing very significantly. What will the world be like in 100 years' time if we don't change how we live now because of climate change? And we don't really know. So this reading is not that unrelated to where we are today. It is difficult and it is challenging. But as I got to the last verse of this, I could just begin to see some hope in where we are now. That whilst God is there and God is not happy with what was going on in Jeremiah's time, that's what Jeremiah said, at the end, there's just a little hint of God's wonderful world and creation restoring, and we can draw confidence. And it's a very tiny glimpse that I could see. Anyway, with no further ado, we're now going to have our reading, the Old Testament for today from Jeremiah chapter 4. Thank you.
At that time, his people in Jerusalem will be told, a scorching wind from the barren heights in the desert blows towards my people, but not to winnow or cleanse. A wind too strong for that comes from me. Now I pronounce my judgments against them. My people are fools. They do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil. They know not how to do good. I looked at the earth, and it was formless and empty, and at the heavens, and their light was gone. I looked at the mountains, and they were quaking. All the hills were swaying. I looked, and there were no people. Every bird in the sky had flown away. I looked, and the fruitful land was a desert. All the towns lay in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. And this is what the Lord says. The whole land will be ruined, though I will not destroy it completely. Therefore the earth will mourn and the heavens above grow dark, because I have spoken and I will not relent. I have decided and I will not turn back.
People have rebelled. People have gone astray. People have done things which they come to regret. In a moment, we're going to have today's epistle, which comes from Timothy. And Timothy, along with Titus and Philemon, who you might have had last Sunday was Philemon Sunday, are the only epistles where Paul wrote to individuals. They are sort of pastoral epistles. The other ones have been written to churches. And we're going to have this reading in a moment, which Paul wrote to Timothy. And it was clearly intended to encourage Timothy. When we hear it, you will hear that Paul talks to Timothy about his own experiences, how wonderful God was to him, and despite the misery of Paul's life at one time, there was hope. And as Paul wrote to encourage Timothy, and Timothy might well have been going through difficult times as well. Paul was in prison. I have read somewhere that Timothy might also have been in prison. And we can imagine Paul writing this passage to Timothy to encourage. And Paul talks about his own miserable background. Here we have our reading today from Timothy.
1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Amen.
In that passage, we saw Paul reflecting on his own life. Paul reflecting all the things that he had actually done wrong. And Paul was clearly not proud of that. And we may sit here today and also perhaps reflect on where we have gone wrong. What challenges have we failed to follow? Where have we taken the easy cop-out and done something completely different? Paul wrote that passage to Timothy and he explained his whole life to him. But how the great joy, and there is joy amongst what might sound rather depressing, despite what Paul was doing, persecuting people, God came to him. And as I looked at that passage, and I can't say I'm an expert on Timothy, or the epistle of Timothy rather, I felt that Paul was trying to give encouragement to Timothy. Things might not always go wonderfully well. They didn't go wonderfully well for me, and I did things which I deeply regret. But God is there. And the passage from Jeremiah, the little bit which I was left with to think about at the end was that God says, or Jeremiah said, God will still be there. Despite what we might think and what we might do, God is there, we can have hope. I did find a monologue which we could have read today, but I decided it was a bit boring, so we won't read the monologue. It basically just reflected on what that Bible reading was. But it brought out very clearly the fact that Paul deeply regretted, and he was deeply thankful. And as we've had these two rather difficult passages to hear about. Maybe reflect on what our lives have been like, and maybe think what our lives can be like, and maybe be truly thankful. In a moment, we are going to have our gospel for today, and as we have been working through Luke's gospel in this lectionary year, we have now got to Luke chapter 15. And we are getting to the point, we've got well into the point, where Jesus is issuing a whole range of warnings to people about how they live their lives. At this point, Jesus is approaching Jerusalem. He's approaching Jesus at Jerusalem for the final time, and undoubtedly Jesus can see what the reaction is going to be, what the result will be. Jesus is therefore poised, talking to people about how they have got to take notice of what he's saying. They've got to think about how they live their lives. And in this passage, it's about the sheep and the lost coin. He's actually talking to Pharisees. It would seem that the Pharisees were criticizing Jesus because he was, as this passage will say, he was spending time with tax gatherers, and this was not seen to be right. They were the unpleasant people who worked for the Romans, who worked for the authorities. They stole people's money, or so they thought. And so for Jesus to be speaking and spending time, having meals, our readings, our gospel readings over the last few weeks have been about Jesus having meals. And people didn't like him having meals with the people they didn't like him having meals with. And this is no different. And the high-ups in the church, the Pharisees of the time, were very critical. So as we are parts of this church, parts of the Methodist church nationwide, and parts of the whole Christian communion, we have to ask ourselves, how well are we as leaders of the church today behaving? And what criticisms in our church would Jesus throw at us? Again, a very challenging reading. Lost and found, maybe, but the undertones that lie behind it, Jesus addressing directly to the Pharisees how they conducted their lives. I was going to use this monologue, which I found from Timothy, but it was pretty boring. And I decided, well, it was a repeat of the epistle. And I said to somebody, I wasn't going to use Paul Glass this week because you're used to him and you're fed up with him. They said, that's a shame. And somebody else said the same thing. But in fact, I think his meditation for today is pretty impressive based on the gospel which you're going to hear. And after the gospel, Ruth will read Paul Glass's reflection for today. Thank you very much.
Chapter 15, starting at verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Worth finding. Hi, everyone. The name's Sean, and I'm a sheep. You'd never have guessed it, would you? But that's okay. I realise I'm a bit unusual. Never been one of the flock, as it were. Take, for example, the day I got lost. It could only happen to me. All of the others were safely back in the fold. But me? I got myself into a bit of bother. A couple of wrong turns, some loose stones on the bank of a river, and I was in a right sorry state. Now, I've got no illusions about myself. I'm nothing special. I'm not saying I've got issues with self-esteem, but I've never considered myself an outstanding example of what a good sheep should be like. My coat's a bit strangly. I haven't got that much meat on me. There are lots of others in the flock more talented than I am. Vera makes lovely cupcakes. And George, you could see what he can do in the leaping and gambling department. No, I really am very ordinary by sheep standards, which is why I wouldn't have been surprised if the shepherd hadn't come looking for me. More trouble than I'm worth. You don't want to leave 99 sheep to their own devices whilst you run off looking for the one sheep who's daft enough to have got himself well and truly lost. But I found out something that day that has never left me since. It's an extraordinary discovery, and it's this. To the shepherd, I was worth finding. Me, with all of my eccentricities and my natural ability to get myself into scrapes, with all of my ordinariness and the fact that I'm constantly getting into trouble, I was worth finding. I was worth time and effort. I was worth the shepherd leaving the flock behind to look for me, especially. With all my brokenness, I was worth finding. I thought I was next to worthless. I thought to myself, with all of the trouble that I brought, what on earth, who on earth would want to care about me? I'll freely admit there have been days and I've wondered who on earth could even think I was worth anything. But then I found that to the shepherd, I was precious. Worth finding. And if that's true of me, it's got to be true of you too. Yes, you are worth finding. The shepherd goes out of his way to find you and bring you home. And when you do, get found, I mean, there is such a party. You wouldn't believe, but that is just how worth finding you are. And don't you forget it, will you?
Well, preachers are odd characters. Some odder than others. And I do find it pretty tedious and boring to sit behind there before services start and make polite conversation with church stewards. No disrespect to any church steward who's here. I just find it tedious and boring and dull. And I run out of anything to say. And we end up talking about Tottenham Hotspur. And they're not even remotely interested in Tottenham Hotspur. Or even Newcastle, as Andy seemed to think. Indeed. So I wander around. Today, I wandered around, as I always do, and I chatted to people, and I said, hello, how are you? In fact, I actually found, I think, 13 people, it might have been 40, but I think it was only 13. I said, hello, how are you, to 13 of you. It might be little groups. And you all said, fine, thanks. And I said, what is it on? Hello, how are you? Fine, thanks. What is it on? Two of you did say, oh, fine, thank you. How are you? I was a bit positive. Two people said, how are you? I'm being quite honest here. If somebody had said, oh, I'm awfully sorry. It's been a dreadful week. I really don't know how I've come to church today. It has been grim. What would I have done? What would I have said? Because, of course, I just wandered around saying hello to you all, not really expecting any of you to say anything very much to me back. What a dreadful confession is that? And, of course, it makes me think about how should I behave? Should I actually be a lot more questioning and thinking, what are these people really saying to me? Do they want me to think more? Because today's reading, especially from Luke, was about people in the church and how we behave, and I probably didn't behave very well, and also about lost and found. And did I really bother to think about anybody who might have said, yeah, I feel pretty lost this week? And so it would have been easy to come up with a theme for worship, lost and found. That's probably a bit boring as well. So I had come up with this theme here, new hearts, creating me a new heart and a clean heart. And that was a picture that was produced in Worship Cloud for today, so I thought I might show it to you. But it also, I think, puts into message the fact that we've got to rethink our lives. We've got to perhaps restart. If I go back to probably 1958, Union Street Methodist Church Sunday School, Maidstone in Kent. And Union Street Methodist Church Sunday School in Kent had the dubious privilege in 1958 having won Graham Gibbons in its Sunday School. It was me and about seven or eight others. We were horrible little boys. We were ghastly, absolutely dreadful, horrible. I can remember it. We set out to be nasty. And there was a lovely man called Mr. Dance. Mr. Dance came along each week to be nice to us, and he looked after us, and he cared for us, and he was interested in us. But it didn't make any difference. We were still nasty to him. Luckily, my parents moved me away to Hertfordshire when they left Kent when I was about 12. And I'm sure Mr. Dance was truly thankful. And, of course, Mr. Dance, who was elderly at the time, has now gone to greater glory. But I can still remember the great impact that man had, because he kept coming back. And no matter how lost I was, he was always there seeking and finding. The most precious thing I have in my life is that. Gosh, this is a wonderful thing. I can't tell you how valuable it is to me. It's wonderful. It's my mobile phone. It's wonderful. It's special. It's got two SIMs inside it. It's a dual SIM phone, which means I've got English numbers and Gibraltar numbers. It's a wonderful phone. I can't believe how wonderful it is. It's marvelous. I just love it. Trouble is, I keep on losing it, as Angela knows. I lose this thing. I keep on losing it, and I'm lost. And I go around the house moaning about it. Where's my phone, Angela? You've lost it. And she's always the one to blame. She's always the one to blame. And of course, it's always on silent. So when you ring me, I never answer it because it's on silent. The thing's useless. But of course, we finally find it is stuck down a chair or something. I've never actually lost a phone in my life. But when I find the phone, I am so thankful. I am so amazingly thankful that I found my phone. And I think there's a real message here that we look for things and we are so thankful. The message of that story today about the shepherd being so thankful, being of Jesus, about God being so thankful when we are found, is a message for all of us. And as Christian people in a Methodist church, we are also being challenged. Because remember that gospel reading was really addressed to the Pharisees. They were the ones who were being so critical of Jesus because he was having a meal with these characters that they didn't like. And these are the people that could well have said that they were lost, they were struggling, they were trying to find their way to go in life. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You are missing the point." And so today in our worship theme, we are being richly challenged. In all of our readings, we are being richly challenged. Jeremiah, centuries ago, highlighted to people that they had to rethink how they were spending their lives. Paul said to Timothy how wonderful God was. Despite him being a ghastly, horrible individual, God came to him in his middle of being nasty and awful and picked him up. And for each one of us today, we, I think, are also being called to ponder, how is God picking us up? That actually was the message, and it's up on the screen, or it was up on the screen. Paul Glass's such wonderful final passage, the final paragraph. We are all worth saving. We are worth being saved, and God rejoices. And that is our great hope and our great joy. That despite how well we think we might sometimes behave, and we're not always very proud of how we behave, God is always there calling us. And so today in our service, we are being challenged to think very seriously. It's not a happy message, because we are all human beings and we all make mistakes. We all do things that we regret. But in those moments, God calls us. The challenge for us today is, how is God calling us as individuals and as members of this church? That is what our messages today call us to think about. When we leave those doors in a few minutes and return to the world of which we are a part, how are we going to act differently? How are we going to respond to the call of God to seek out and help the lost, to be there for those who truly need us? That is the mission of the church today. We are part of the church, and may we live and work that message for God's glory's sake.